Okay, I need some crowd participation because I believe that these are tunes where when you hear the lyrics, they're familiar enough, you should be able to finish the lyric. I'll start it, and then I'm counting on you all to do it. I was worried about the early service, but they did fine, so I'm expecting big things out of you. Now, you kids won't know some of these, but some you will, so be ready to sing the end of this lyric, all right? Here we go. The record shows I took the blows and did it. That was good. You guys were even on pitch. The first service was all over the map. Harder to sing that early, I guess. But now you guys will know this one, maybe. It's a commercial. Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that. All right. Take my hand. Take my whole life too. For I can't help. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's really good. Well, maybe it's not lyrics or tunes. Maybe it's some audio clips without even you knowing what the picture is. Just by the music coming on automatically, you're like, oh, yeah. And here's one, and I expect Derek to get this one pretty easily. Here we go. Wake him up, Kurt. I like it. Let it play out now. And that, of course, is the theme from Star Wars. Very good. Here's another one. Let it play out. Jump the gun. Oh, yeah. Which one? One or 23? All right, this one will be a little tougher. Maybe some of you older folk will jump on this one. Go ahead, Bill. Come on, Luzerne. I'm counting on you, Luzerne. Richard's got it. Richard? Theme from The Godfather. Very good. All right, here's a voice. You tell me who it is.
I'll be back.
No, that was Charlie at the buffet. That wasn't in my notes, Jimmy. That was Holy Spirit inspired. That was sorry, Charlie. I gotta remember when stuff comes flying through my head and sometimes let it go. Sorry about you. That was Arnold Schwarzenegger, obviously. I should have put this with the clips because this is not somebody talking. This is another music clip. Let's see if you can get this one. Wait! It's getting closer to the boat. The sheriff says, we're going to need a bigger boat. Oh, I like that one. Jaws? Okay, that was easy. All right. I decided to quit being so easy with them and give you a tough one. Here we go.
I'm a cowboy, yes sir I am. Yes sir I am a cowboy, yes sir I am. I'm a cowboy, yes sir I am. Yes sir I am a cowboy. Yee-hee!
Let me hear it. Very good. Daffy Duck, not Donald Duck, but Daffy Duck, who actually has a middle name. Anybody know his middle name for extra credit? I'm serious, he does. His middle name is not Mark. That's silly. His middle name is Dumas. Daffy Dumas Duck. Now, I decided to put my money where my mouth is on this one. Dale, are you pretty familiar with the voices of famous actors? Somewhat? Okay, come on up here, Dale. Dale's the chairman of my elders. If anybody's going to not let me down, I'm sure it's him. Okay, this is a $100 bill right out of my wallet. Okay? If you can get the name of this famous actor, I'll give you this $100 bill. You can take Sandy out to dinner and give Wyatt the change, all right? So, listen very carefully. It's a very famous voice, okay? Here we go.
People want me to do everything for them, and what they don't realize is they have the power. You want to see a miracle, son? Be the miracle.
Dale, do you know that voice?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. How many of y'all think he's right? No, he is not right. That is Frank Caliendo doing an impersonation of Morgan Freeman. You didn't really think I was going to. Thank you, Dale. Dale, I have a dollar for you later. It's a participation trophy, all right? All of this to ask a question. Can you recognize God's voice? How do you recognize the voice of God? That led me to a scripture in John 10 for this sermon series. These verses have changed my life. This is a phenomenal scripture, John 10:5, and it reads this way: but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So the question again, do you recognize God's voice when he speaks to you? Or do you just not know who it is that's speaking? A number of serial killers in America's history have used the "God told me to do it" defense. An example is Pedro Alonso Lopez, who killed 113 girls. He's in prison for life. He claimed that God spoke to him and told him he'd be doing these girls a favor by ending their lives early so that they wouldn't have to deal with the harsh realities of living in this world. And all the way to prison, he claimed, "God told me to do this." There have always been crimes committed and atrocities enacted, bad things done because someone claimed they were just following the instructions of the Lord. And many people see these claims and they conclude, if these bad decisions were the result of God telling someone to do something, then I don't want anything to do with that God. So again, the question that we wrestle with, how do we know we're hearing from God? And what about those who claim to never hear from God? Is the problem with God and the way he speaks? Or is the problem with us and the way we listen? Well, there's an Old Testament story, and I've always loved this, and this was the perfect verse to work it into. Let me set it up for you just quickly. The Israelite people had left Egypt to go into the Promised Land, but they wander in the desert for how long, church? 40 years of aimless wandering around. They don't have a king yet. Before they crown their first king, we find a woman named Hannah. Hannah was unable to have children, and year after year, she would go with her husband to the tabernacle, and she would say the same prayer. Her husband's name was Elkanah, and Elkanah was a polygamist and had other wives, one wife named Penina. Penina gave Elkanah many children. Hannah could not give him any, and she prayed the same prayer every time she went to the tabernacle. God, please give me a child. And then she did what I've done before in my discussions with God, bargain or barter. God, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. I've done that many times. I do not recommend it. God always keeps his end of the bargain, and I always struggle to fulfill my end of it. But Hannah prays the prayer and then bargains with God this way. God, if you give me a child, I will dedicate him to special and specific service to you for his entire life. So I want a baby, And if you give me one, I will dedicate him to you, into your service for the rest of his life. God answers her prayer. She gives this baby a name, Samuel, which is a cool Hebrew name. It means God has heard. Now check this out. When little Sammy is 3 years old, Hannah brings him to the tabernacle and gives him to the priest whose name is Eli. She gives him to Eli to serve there and stay there in the tabernacle with him because she promised God, if you give me a baby, I'll give him right back to you. Here's what she said in 1 Samuel 1, 27. I prayed for this child and the Lord granted me what I asked of him, so now I give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given over to the Lord. For years in my old Bible, I kept ultrasound pictures of my kids in this story to remind me that God wanted me to give them back to him. There's an old gospel song, and I like the lyrics. It says, love the people that God gave you because someday he's going to want them back. And this is where the story gets interesting. And it speaks to one question about hearing from God. So check it out. 1 Samuel 3:1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. That's interesting. There were not many visions. So God speaking from a burning bush or by way of a dream at night, it was rare at this time. It's like God went silent for a while. But then we read this in the next verse, verse 2. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord. When the ark of God, I lost my place. When the ark of God, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord God called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am. You call me. But Eli said, next one, Bill, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called, Samuel. Samuel got up, went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. This is pretty cool. We clearly have God speaking, but Samuel, with an untrained ear, doesn't know who he's hearing. He thinks it's Eli calling out to him, but Eli's sawing logs in his bedroom. But Eli is perceptive enough to know somebody's talking to him, and I bet it's God. And he directs Samuel to do something we should all make a practice of doing because we don't do it very well. You know what it's called? It's called listening. Because the truth is, most people don't listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. That's you and that's me. We're already formulating in our head what we want to say based on what this person's saying, and we're not really even hearing what they say because we're already working on our response. If that doesn't work for you, how about this John Wayne quote? You're short on ears but long on mouth. Does that work for you? You ever been around someone who makes it clear that they're not really listening to you? Do you live with someone who makes it really clear they're not listening to you? I don't know how many of you know Wesley Carmichael. Wesley comes to the early service and comes to our class. Got that deep voice. Love Wesley. Shortly after a visit to his cardiologist, Wesley was out at a club dancing with a younger, good-looking blonde lady. Well, his cardiologist happened to be at the club, and he didn't like it one bit. He walked up to Wesley, and he said, Wesley, what in the world are you doing? And Wesley said, I'm following your advice. You said get a bad hot mama and be cheerful. And the cardiologist said, that's not what I said. I said, you got a bad heart murmur. Be careful. My dad likes to quote those statistics that have been debunked. You ladies will be happy to know. It used to make the rounds that it was fact that women use twice as many words as men do. That's not accurate. they use a few more than men do, if you want to get right down to it. But that doesn't stop my dad from preaching it with conviction. That in a sermon once, and he looked at my mom, and he said, my wife Rose is down here. She'll tell you she uses twice as many words as I do. And Mom responded during the sermon and said, that's because I have to repeat everything I tell you. And his response to that was, huh? So we're left with the question, how do I know I'm hearing from God? How do I recognize his voice? And there's lots of confusing voices speaking to us today, lots of confusing philosophies. I wrote down a few that are doing great damage because these voices are being heard. The newer is always truer. That's what some people think. Only what is recent is decent. That's not true. Every shift of ground is a step forward. I would defy that thought. And every latest word must be the last word on any subject. That's the culture we live in right there. The latest word must be the last word on any subject. Those are ridiculous philosophies and dangerous. And many through the years have seized on such thinking. I came across an Adolf Hitler quote in doing some research, and the last part of it blew me away. Here's what Hitler said. By the skillful and sustained use of propaganda, one can make a people see even heaven as hell, or an extremely wretched life as paradise. If you tell a big enough lie and tell it frequently enough, it will be believed. The great mass of people will more easily fall victim to a big lie than a small one. Check this out. What good fortune for governments that people do not think for themselves. Well, God wants more than that. And we need some filters to help us discern between the voice of the Lord and the voice of the world. And I know you're going to say, well, here goes Mark again telling us we need to be in our Bibles. You're so right. I am, because the first filter is this. The voice you are hearing will not, I should have said never, will never contradict the voice you are reading. Now, file that away. Because if you think you hear God speaking to you and you really want to follow what it is you're being told, and it could be through a feeling and not the audible voice necessarily, but circumstances or open doors or whatever it might be, the voice that you are hearing will never contradict the voice that you are reading. God is never going to tell you one thing in his word and then contradict that later. This is so important because of this woke revolution. With changing standards and shifting truth, we need to understand that God never says one thing one time and then due to circumstances or the company we keep or the change in society, he then will say something different. You can say a lot of things about our great God, but near the top of the list, you need to say this. God is consistently consistent, isn't he? Through the years, I've encountered well-meaning people who sincerely believe that they were hearing from God. They would even sit across my desk and tell me, God is telling me this. And I could tell by what they concluded, that ain't God talking. I don't know who you're listening to, but that ain't God. I'll give you some real-life examples. Preacher, I've been praying about whether I should give an offering when I come to church because my budget at home is so tight. I feel like God is telling me to not give until it gets better. Well, the answer to that is stop praying and start giving. God's already spoke to this. And he's not going to change his mind. He's not going to change his word. He's already taken care of that. You don't need to pray a prayer like that because what you're reading will not, or what you're hearing will not contradict what you're reading. God's already covered that. Here's another one. A guy was always out late on Saturday night, and he told me I prayed about going or not going to church, and it felt like God was telling me to stay home. Now, I'm not so legalistic that I think your salvation is directly tied to your church attendance, but I can clearly tell that man without looking it up, that ain't God. God is not telling you that. He's already spoke to that, and he will not change. This one takes the cake. I've been praying about leaving my wife for 30 years because I met someone else. Seems like God has put her here for me, and he's been involved in all the circumstances. He wants me to be happy. It's like he has opened every door to make. Doesn't take a doctorate in theology to tell that man, I don't know who you're hearing from, but it's not the voice of God. God has already spoken on that subject. He will not contradict himself. Listen, church, there are major religious groups right now. We talked about this morning. Denominations who are wrestling with and splitting over issues because some have determined that God has changed his mind on certain subjects or behaviors. That God didn't see far enough ahead to know or understand how things were going to be for us today. Their conclusion is many of the social issues and personal preferences snuck up on God. Like he didn't see it coming. And the things the Lord said in the past just don't apply anymore. I fundamentally disagree with that conclusion because the God I worship and serve never contradicts himself. And whenever he speaks it, it's truth, and it's truth for all time. He can't be surprised. He can't be enlightened. He can't be confused. He can't be compromised. And to put it plainly, he can't be wrong. And if he said it, then he doesn't need to say it again because it's never going to change. People have trouble with televangelists for this very reason. Listen, when the brother on TV says, God told me it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something, don't go with the brother, go with the Bible. When the brother on TV says, God told me to tell you, unless you're speaking in tongues outwardly displaying some miraculous gift, then your faith is not genuine or real, don't go with the brother, go with the Bible. When the brother says that when you die, there's no literal heaven or hell, it's just a state of conscious being, not a literal place, don't go with the brother, go with the Bible. When the brother says salvation is by works and not grace, don't go with the brother, go with the Bible. When the brother says if you serve God, you'll drive a Lexus, have a perfect family, never need a dentist, never have heartburn or gas again, and you'll be in perfect health until you're 153 years old, don't go with the brother. Go with the Bible. I've said this until I'm blue in the face. Maybe that's because I'm a blue fugate. But I'll say it again. Just because someone claims to be speaking for God does not mean they are speaking for God. It's the old story of the doctor walking through an insane asylum, checking on patients door to door. He walks by a room and a guy is up on his bed shaking his hips. And he says, hey there, baby, I'm Elvis Presley. And the doctor says, no, you're not. And he shakes his hips again. Yeah, I am. I'm Elvis Presley. And the doctor said, no, you're not. Yeah, I am, baby. I'm Elvis Presley. The doctor said, well, who told you that? The man said, God told me. I'm Elvis Presley. And then you hear a voice from down the hall. No, I didn't. Just because somebody claims to be speaking for God doesn't mean they're speaking for God. I will make this transparent, heartfelt offer to you. And I've got Dale and some of the other elders here. If I, as your preacher, ever say, God told me to tell you this, and then what I tell you contradicts his word, you can immediately show me to the back door, point me toward VV, Indiana, and tell me to start walking. So that being said, this morning, I want to tell you what God told me to tell you, all right? God told me to tell you, becoming part of the fellowship of the church is vital to your spiritual health. He told me to tell you that. He told me to tell you to test him with your giving and see if he will not pour out blessing beyond our imagination. God told me to tell you. He did. He told me to tell you we are saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. God told me to tell you Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. God told me to tell you. He did tell me to tell you. Heaven is real, hell is for sure, and eternity is forever. Can I get an amen? Let me throw one more in. I'll show you how this works. God told me to tell you your preacher would do a better job preaching if someone gave him season tickets to IU. Thought maybe I could slip one in on you. See, that's how it works, though. I've told you before, though, I've found scripture to prove Jesus was an IU fan. Direct quote, as the Father has sent me, so send IU. Hoo, hoo. Matter of fact, with Jamie's help, we have uncovered an old photo of the 12 disciples. There they are right there. Isn't that good? Listen, if it's truly God you're hearing from, then the voice you're hearing will not contradict the voice you're reading. Let me give you some practical advice. And I don't often do this, even with my job. Every week, pick a Bible, pick a time, and pick a place. Pick a Bible, pick a time, and pick a place. It'll help you recognize when God is speaking to you. That's the first filter. I won't spend as long on these two. I'll just mention them. The second filter is the voice you're hearing will make you more like Jesus. Here's a straightforward verse from Paul's writing to the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 5. You must have, read this with me, you must have the same attitude as that of Jesus. Where's the wiggle room there? Where's the, well, get as close as you can, or similar to Jesus, or somewhat like Jesus? Where's the out in that verse? I looked up the original word because I was curious. It means duplicate, to be exact, just like, identical. Your attitude is to be the same as that. How you doing with that? I saw a bumper sticker once that asked me a good question. I don't know if you like bumper stickers or not. I always thought they should be outlawed. I don't think we should be reading things when we're going 80 miles an hour. I mean, we're already texting and eating a blueberry muffin from McDonald's. Can't do three things at one time. Plus, much like the stuff people put on Facebook, I don't need to know exactly who you are and what you believe based on what I read on your car. You are a tolerant, gun control, Wiccan princess who loves her poodle and won't be here when the rapture happens. I get it. Some bumper stickers have made me smile, though, through the years. I've picked out a few to show you. I like this one here. It says, I was an honor student. I don't know what happened. How about this next one? That's the same one. I followed that car all over the place. Yes, this is my truck. No, I won't help you move. Here we got another one. I like this. How about that? 0.0. I don't run. Lost your cat? Try looking under my tires. It's not on my car, y'all. Calm down. And then a couple that I really like. Do you follow Jesus this close? But the one that got my attention for the message was this one here. And Micah asked this question when he teaches our class sometimes. Have you heard from God today? That's a good question, isn't it? And I bet it makes some of you want to ask, when's the last time I've heard from God? Your attitude is to be the same as that of Jesus. People make it difficult to have that attitude, don't they? But they made it difficult for him too. I saw this picture recently. It's a little girl squinting at the sun. It says, we squint at the sun because it's bright. We squint at people because they're not. Jesus was full of truth, but he was full of grace too. And sometimes you can tell by the attitude with which something is being said, it's not the Lord you're hearing from. I mean, some people are so just self-righteous or selfish or putting someone down, claiming to speak for the Lord, or they're just plain mean. I'm pretty sure they're not speaking for the Lord. Two filters. If what you're hearing is contradicting what you're reading, it's not God. If what you're hearing doesn't make you more like Jesus, it's not God. And I'll wind it with this one. The voice you're hearing can be confirmed by your church family. This is an important lesson because often I don't know if it's God speaking to me or not. I'll be honest with you. And when I don't know, but I think, you know what, this might be God telling me this, I'm going to ask Charlie. I'm going to sit down with Charlie or some others like Charlie who I'm pretty sure are familiar with the voice of God. They know what he sounds like. And I want to talk to them. I'd sit with you, Terry. I want to know, what do you think? I mean, you pray and you hear from God, and what does his voice sound like, and is this God speaking to me? Because my church family can help me confirm whether or not what I'm hearing is from God. And I've learned this, even as your preacher. You have to defy your inner critic, because he's talking to you all the time. I have one. I mean, I think you all do too, right? That inner critic that just speaks things into your head. You have to learn to defy him. He talks to me when I'm preaching to you all. He won't even leave me alone then. You'd think when I'm preaching to you all, that inner critic would be silent for a while, but it's not. That's when he gets the loudest. Try preaching, y'all, with him talking in your head. And you know what he's saying? He's saying things like, well, they didn't like that story, Mark. No reaction at all. Or, Mark, what you just said didn't make a lick of sense. I mean, he's speaking it to me while I'm speaking to you. Oh, look over there. He's asleep again. Good job, preacher. You bored him to death. All that going on in my head while I'm trying to impart the word of God to you. Oh, look at that scowl coming from the fourth row of chairs. She thought that was inappropriate. Oh, now look what you've done. They think you should have quit 10 minutes ago. It's all in my head. Talk, 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 talk. And if it's not the inner critic, there's another voice that competes with the voice of God. There's another entity that speaks to me regularly, and I try not to listen. And I certainly do not converse with him. Genesis 3, 1 through 5. The serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the one, this is the first dialogue that we read of in the history of man. You realize that? A woman and a snake. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And here's the part highlighted in my Bible. The woman said to the serpent, next one, Bill. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, stay with me here, and I'll wrap this up. All my life, I've been studying this passage. I thought Eve was led astray because of what the serpent said to her. I mean, you read that phrase in verse 1, he said to the woman. I thought that's where we all went off the rails, but that's not accurate. If you put this passage under a microscope and take it apart, here's where we really get off track. It's the phrase in verse 2, the woman said to the serpent. That's where things go haywire. Because when you open yourself up to a dialogue with the enemy, you've already lost. Already lost. Now, let me make this point. This is why the Bible talks about Christians marrying Christians. These young people that were up here on this stage someday are going to choose a partner if they haven't yet. This is why the Bible talks about fellowship with brothers and sisters. I know it's possible for a Christian to marry a non-Christian, and through the course of that marriage and relationship, that person wins that person to Jesus. I've seen it happen, but that is rare. And I would put marriage evangelism way at the bottom of effective ways to bring people to Christ. And I know it's possible for Christians to hang out with non-Christians a lot and bring them to the Lord, and I love it when that happens, but there's danger in that too, because I think you agree with me, it's always easier to take someone downhill than up, right? And I've made this point for years. Kurt likes it when I make this point. I know it's not proper English, but it's how a country boy makes the point. If I put on a white glove and stick my hand in the mud, what happens? The glove gets muddy. I've never seen the mud get glovey. Are you with me? The voice you believe determines the future you receive. Adam and Eve would amen that. We get to choose who we're going to listen to. And because of the constant voice of criticism that comes inside here and the lying voice of Satan that's constantly in my ear, we need something to counterbalance all that. And that's where the church comes in. This is why this is a place of encouragement and love, a place where you can share your burdens and blessings, a place where people can help you know it's God's voice that you are hearing. I don't want to be like Samuel and have God speaking to me, but I dismiss it because I think it's somebody else. Husband and wife in bed one night. She says, honey, I heard noises in the house. He said, you hear noises in the house every night. Just go back to sleep. There's nobody in the house. Well, she heard another rattle or bump. She said, honey, somebody's in the house. He said, this is ridiculous. Every night you have me get up and go look, and there's never anybody in the house. Go back to sleep. Well, the next time they both heard the noise. So he flips on the light, and sure enough, there's a burglar standing in her bedroom. And the burglar said, you should not have flipped that light on. Now you've seen my face. I'm going to have to shoot you both. Burglar points the gun at the lady and says, I never shoot anybody without knowing their names. What's your name? She said, my name's Beatrice. It's Frank, but everybody knows his name. Turns the gun on the man and said, what's your name? He said, my name's Frank, but everybody calls me Beatrice. You might be hearing things. How do you know it's God? Well, I'll give you a way to develop this. The more you converse with someone, the more you recognize their voice. Are there people in your life that call you on the phone and immediately, without them saying who it is, you know who it is? Why? Because you've talked to them and listened to them and conversed with them enough to know that's who this is. Who better to help me recognize the voice of God than my church family? We read John 10:5 at the beginning. Let me close by reading the two previous verses in that same chapter. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. In Bodega Bay, California, there's this gigantic cliff that people go to the edge of to look at the ocean. And no fencing to keep you from going as far out as you want. Well, 4-year-old Sebastian Johnson got too close to the edge and went over the edge of this cliff. He's such a cute kid. He went into a medically induced coma. They brought him out. I mean, he suffered all kinds of trauma, but they brought him out of the coma, and immediately, like is often the case, he just freaked out, thrashing all over the place. They're trying to hold him down. They couldn't get him calm, but one thing calmed him down. His father walked into the room and spoke to him, and immediately, everything was better. Immediately, he recognized his father's voice, and that made all the difference in the world to him. Now, listen to me. I know some of you this morning and every Sunday we're together, you hear someone telling you that you need to come to Jesus. You hear that voice saying you need change in your life. You need change in your family. That voice is telling you you need hope for a better tomorrow and an eternity in heaven. Who is it that's talking to you? Well, I got a pretty good idea who it is. I think it's the voice of God. And it's about time we listen. Amen.